And I titled this as well, My Dearly Beloved Brethren. My Dearly Beloved Brethren. Because I'd like to go through chapter 4 entirely, but I've been stuck on verse 1 for a good long while, so I think I'm going to stay there this morning. Amen. There's so much within this scripture that shows us God's grace and His glory towards us. We remember that we have friendship, that we have family. We remember that we need to understand that our friendship, our family, our camaraderie together, brothers and sisters, is what mutually helps us out every single day.
There you go.
If Jesus Christ is our life-giving water, a fountain that flows, where does that come from? The Word of God, that's one. Prayer, that's two. But the brethren as well. That's number three, brothers and sisters. And I think sometimes we make one point to do one part of it, but then we forget the others.
That's right. There you go.
We need to keep prayer, the scriptures, and our fellowship as high priorities in our lives. Because when we don't, we get weaker. Amen. So you got to think about as the last days come. In Hebrews, when he tells us to not forsake our fellowship together, it's because of that reason. He says, and much more when you see those days coming.
That's right.
We do the exact opposite, but Lord, help us and forgive us.
Amen.
We also eat our own sometimes. Boy, don't we do that. How do we treat those that are close to us? And that's what I hope that today we can be encouraged in treating each other much better, in treating each other in a way that presents godliness. Because that's exactly what Jesus said when he gave that command. He said that you love one another. His purpose also is that we can build each other, grow, but that the world outside would see that we love one another, and by that they would know that we are followers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a great blessing. So my dearly beloved brethren, remember here, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You're not meant to be alone. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
How many of you remember somebody that was not part of your own flesh and blood that stuck their neck out for you? You ever had that experience?
Hallelujah, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let me ask you to do this. Can you look to your left? Can you look to your right? You look in front of you? You look behind you? Did you know that if they're believers in Christ, that's your brother? That's your sister? Can you do me a favor? Can you tell them right now, you are my brother, you are my sister? Right now, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You first. Ladies first.
My brother and my sister.
So how do you feel about that? Take that.
What a blessing, amen.
And you are loved greatly by me.
Doesn't that feel good?
Wonderful.
Now, as being brothers and sisters, we have to remember this. If you have friends, brothers and sisters, you have to show yourself friendly.
Amen.
And guess what? If you're my brother, you're not my brother just because of your words. You're my brother because of your action. In very difficult times in our lives, don't you remember that person that was there, or the people that would call you, or the folks that would send you gifts and things to encourage you? Can you be that person? Can you be the one to do the same for somebody else?
Amen, brother. That's it.
Amen. That's what this is about. And that's where the heart of Paul is when he's reaching out to these brothers, the Philippians. He's encouraging us to do the same thing, to reach to one another. And really, I want to do much better in that. Don't you?
Amen.
Only two of you.
I do.
I really do.
Me too.
So in this, we see, brothers and sisters, as we use these terms, we are family. We are family.
That's right.
You have family that are by blood. Praise the Lord. But guess what? We're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't we have the same blood?
That's right. The blood of God, brother.
Whoa, what a blessing that is, that we can be called brothers and sisters in the Lord. Jesus Christ himself encouraged his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 15. He says this, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus Christ called his disciples friends. What do you think he calls us?
Mm.
Friends.
Amen. Friends. Up a little bit before that, in verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, as I said a bit earlier. Greater love have no man than this, and a man laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Do you see what's going on there?
Mm.
You can't call yourself a friend to somebody that's sitting next to you if you never have done anything that was friendly to them.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's good.
You can't call somebody that's in the other room there a brother if you've never acted like a brother to them. Mm. But if you have, praise God. Amen. You are my brother. These people suffered persecutions. These people suffered many, many trials and tribulations of their day. What were the obstacles that they had? Some that are similar to us today. Didn't they have the obstacle of distance?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Paul, when he writes to these people, more times than not, he says, I desire to be with you.
Amen, brother.
Do you desire to be here today?
Mm-hmm.
Do you desire to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ? He said, I desire to be with you. That is exactly the sentiment we want to share here today. They had a distance issue. They had an issue of communication. They may be far away, but we're reading a letter from Paul. He was writing it to the church at Ephesus. And you know why he was doing that? Because he cared.
Mm.
I know that writing letters is not necessarily the form that many people would choose today, but have you ever received a letter from somebody?
Yeah.
You ever received a handwritten letter from somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Those are far few and beyond, but what a blessing it is.
Yeah.
I think some of those are good to keep and maybe even hang them up as reminders of the great blessing that we have of having somebody that cares for us.
Mm.
That's one thing that this world is lacking today. As Pastor Tito mentioned, hope. I look at the students and those in school, that's what their struggle is. There is a big lack of hope. Many feel like nobody loves them, nobody cares about them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's thinking about me. But yet when we show that there is a community, that God is in the middle of that community, you remember the Israelites going through that wilderness, even with all their bickering and craziness, people knew that God was with them.
Amen. Yeah, that's funny.
When we love one another, people know that God is with us. That is a great power that we have, a great strength that we can show this world that God is with us. Otherwise, when they look at us, what do they see? They see that we don't care for each other. We have our flesh. We offend each other sometimes. Anybody ever been offended by a brother in Christ before?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was it me? It probably was. I'm sorry. Forgive me. If we offend each other, remember, we still have this flesh, but God has given us another power.
Hallelujah.
That power is to humble ourselves and come and ask forgiveness of our brothers and sisters. Not pride. That's the other side. That's the old man. The new man says, I'm humbling myself just as Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
Just as Jesus Christ did for us. Look at that really quickly with me in Philippians chapter 2. Here Paul encourages the brothers to care for one another, love one another. In verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves.
Mm.
That means what? I put my brother in high priority. God is first, and then my brother is next.
Amen. Second command.
God first, then my brother next. But what about myself? God will take care of you.
That's right. Amen.
Don't you worry. God will take care of you. Verse 4, he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know why he's instructing them to do that? Because if you look later in this chapter, he instructs and tells us and shows us that every man seeks his own. What does that mean? That I care for mine, you care for yours, stay out of my business. No, that's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ, if we're going to be united, we need to be able to help each other.
That's right.
And guess what? You need to be able to receive it too.
Mm.
Some of us are very proud. We don't want to receive help from other people. I've got everything under control. No, what if the Lord wants to bless you by this person? And in turn, bless that person too.
That's right. That's good.
What a blessing it is that we are united in Christ. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is that mind? He told us to love one another. That's the command that he gave. But jump over to verse 8 really quick. In Philippians 2, he says, and being found in the fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Are we willing to humble ourselves and become obedient, dying to ourselves so that our brother or sister could be lifted up? This is our call. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Therein is the proof. When we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. He'll take care of our needs. And it might be from another brother. You never know. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, Pastor Tito, as you mentioned here with the Compass Care, and we say, well, let's just do the walk. You know, what a statement that would be. Trusting in the Lord. I mean, yeah, you know, you got to call up police. You got to try to make sure things are scouted and watched. But you know what? If we're doing these things out of the grace and the love of the Lord, do it.
Amen.
You know? Why? Because they can see Jesus Christ. They can see Jesus Christ. Although our world struggles with some of these ideas, because today, as I remember as being a bit more of a youth, hearing the scripture that they call evil good and good evil, I was like, man, what does that look like? Man, we're seeing it today. We're seeing it today. It's been exchanged. It's no longer the same. Some great examples that we have of this relationship, family, and some bad ones. You remember Cain and Abel? There's two brothers. They're family. But you know what got in between them and God? Jealousy. A very darkened heart. Cain's heart was not right before the Lord. I mean, it's very apparent. Why? Because his reaction when God came to him, his reaction when his brother got blessed with this, with these accolades of God, and he didn't. What was his reaction? Killed his brother. We went from Adam and Eve lying to God, eating fruit that they shouldn't have eaten, to somebody going and killing somebody else right away. It's pretty quick. But guess what? God asked him a question. He said, where's your brother? And what was his response? Am I my brother's keeper? What's the answer to that, family?
Yes.
Can everybody say that?
Yes.
We are.
We are our brother's keeper.
Amen, brother.
We need to take care of one another. Amen? We need to watch for one another. What about David and Saul? Remember David as a young boy? He had such a great relationship with Saul. If you don't remember that, go back into 2 Samuel, 1st, 2nd Samuel. Remember that he had a great relationship with Saul.
That's right.
Saul adopted him as one of his own. Yeah. He treated him as such. But because of his disobedience to God, he also had a jealous heart. Well, because of his disobedience to God, there was an evil spirit that came upon him, and that was one of the reasons why David came before him in the first place. But you know what? With all of that in his heart, he had this big battle in himself. Love David, kill David. He picked up a spear, javelin, many times to try to kill him. Remember Jonathan, the relationship that David had with Jonathan? It wasn't any wrong or illicit relationship. It was a good relationship, healthy. Two brothers that fought together. I've not fought on the battlefield, at least not on the battlefield with a gun. I fought on the battlefields of telling people about Christ. Ben and I have been out in the streets telling people about Christ. That gives us a good link in relationship.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Because we pray for one another. We fight with one another to try to help these people see Jesus Christ. But I can imagine anybody who's been in the military and fought side by side with somebody would understand this very well. That is my brother. I would die for him. We're going against the enemy. Amen. That was Jonathan and David. They had such a relationship. And here's how you know David's heart was in the right place. By God's work. He didn't want to harm God's anointed.
Amen.
Saul was
Amen.
God's anointed.
That's right.
And then when David, when Saul and Jonathan died in battle, he didn't jump up and say, yippee! He cried so hard.
He wailed.
And you know what else? He gave them such a great eulogy. He buried them. He gave them honor. Mm-hmm. And then years later, part of the family of Jonathan is before him trembling, afraid that here's the new king. Oh no, what is he going to do? You know what he did? He took a javelin and thrust him through, right? Mm-hmm. Nope.
No.
You know what he did? He took that young man in and adopted him into
you
his family.
You got it. Amen, brother.
He said, come, sit at my table.
Woo! Hallelujah.
That is the fellowship that we have, brothers and sisters. We serve the same exact God.
Amen.
And what we look at as we look at Palm Sunday, the beginning of that Passion Week of Jesus Christ, as we look at the leading up to it, all of the things that Jesus Christ suffered, all of the pain that he took, he did that so that you and I could be brothers together in Christ. He did that so we could have the church. And we could be the church. That is the work that Jesus has done on that cross. He died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose 3 days later. Look, he set a standard. He said, I love you. I'm going to die for you.
Mm-hmm.
Love each other. Keep my commandments. Love each other. Die for each other. Serve each other. Mm-hmm. Remember when he washed their feet?
Amen,
he's giving them an example.
Hallelujah.
Brothers and sisters, this is the example that we need to follow. So my dearly beloved, a few things that I want to talk with you here in Philippians 4. When he spoke, when he wrote in terms of endearment, enduring terms. Do you have those terms for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Listen, he said, my brothers, in verse 1 there, chapter 4. My brothers, what does that mean to us? We are family. Mm-hmm. Understand, we are family.
That's right.
It says it right in the Word of God. It's not something that Pastor Jose made up. It's not something that some other preacher made up years ago. It's God's intent that we would be family.
Amen.
He also says to them, dearly beloved. What does dearly beloved mean? It means that we care for one another. You care about what's going on with the person next to you and the person behind you. How does that look? I mean, wait, where's that thing? What's over there? Pick it up. Boop, boop, boop. Hello. How are you doing today? Do you have a need? Can I help you?
Amen.
If you have, use it to bless somebody else. Amen? Mm-hmm. Whatever we have, use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
He also called them long for. This shows his desire to be together.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, man. And it also it looks like this. I can't wait to see them.
Amen.
I can't wait to see them. Do you feel that way at times when you come to church? Sometimes I know. I mean, sometimes I don't. But there's definitely moments when I'm like, oh, and I see folks. Man, it is such a blessing to see Pastor Tito's mom here today.
Hallelujah.
What a great blessing. Man, it just brings so much joy to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a blessing to see my brother Marcus and our new friend here, Sierra, right? Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Sierra. It's a blessing. It's even a blessing to see Pastor Jose.
Can you imagine that?
Amen. I have him for eternity is what he keeps telling me. And I can't run too far from him. So.
May as well stick it out, right?
What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. And I know that I've done stuff that it probably annoyed the mess out of Pastor Jose. But what a great blessing that we can have such fellowship together.
Yes.
That we can work together. It's the same with all of us here, brothers and sisters. How can we support each other? Well, I think we do a fairly good job at that here at BBT.
Amen.
But I want to encourage you. It's not in vain.
That's right.
Do you know who's really watching all of this? You know where that accountability goes? To God.
Amen.
He puts it to your account.
Hallelujah.
You ever gone to a brother or sister's house like the other day? Gone to their house and they say, would you like some coffee? Would you like some water? You look skinny, Craig. You need to eat your You know, I've had some of those before. I'm like, okay, I mean, I'll surrender, submit to my brother. But you know what? Jesus said, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, and believe me, I'm one of the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Hallelujah. Bless God.
This is one anothering, brothers and sisters. We're loving on each other. Mm-hmm. You know what else he said about them? He says, they're my joy. Remember those people you just looked at a moment ago? Look at them again if you need to your left, to your right, in front of you and behind you. Are they your joy? Mm. Does it bring you joy to be together? Man, what a great blessing. Mm. There is joy when we gather together. Guys, that Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling, is not that, that command. It is a joy.
Amen, brother. Amen.
It is love. It is compassion that we seek to be with one another. We want to strengthen each other because when we are together, wow, how greatly the Lord works.
Amen.
My crown.
Amen.
When we are together, we produce such great works in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you can't go out into the streets and knock on doors and talk to people, are you praying for those that can?
Mm-hmm.
I really hope you are.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing plans, and later this evening we'll be together thinking of different things we can do, strategizing with the Lord, with each other. And guess what? I want you to please pray. We need it. And if you can, just come up. Try it once or twice. Mm-hmm. Even if you stand on the side of you, just quiet and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. Here's the second part. He longed to be with the people. He longed to be with them. Look at Philippians 1:8 really quick. Let's do a little bit of a Bible exercise. Philippians 1:8. In the beginning of his letter, he tells them this. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in my bowels. All in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, from the deepest part of his insides, he wanted to see them. I think because we have such technology and things are so quick, we can put up our phone and do FaceTime or do a video chat with somebody. And it's like, oh, I'm good. I got my few moments with them. No.
That's right.
We have to seek to have more and more time together.
Amen.
You know, look for opportunities that we can joy together, that we can rejoice together. Don't always try to seek our own.
Mm.
God takes care of that.
There you go. That's good.
He says... This is the record. God knows it. How greatly I long after you, all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It's a yearning that's inside. Do we have that yearning for one another? Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. He says, for I am straight betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Brothers and sisters, how many agree that it's far better to be with Christ?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. During these last several years, I know I've been like, boy, it'd be great if you would come right now, Lord. It'd be great for us to be with you right now. But you know what? Verse 24, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
Amen.
It's of a benefit that we are still here for one another. Amen. A brother is born for adversity. We're here to work together, to fight together, to cry together, to stand together. God bless you. It is needful that we're together. How about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 23 and 24? He says this, Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Hmm. Do you hear it in there? Mm-hmm. He's sending Timothy to these people, but he'd rather be there himself. It's just that he can't because he's doing ministry and working with others as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But at that present time, he can't be there. Guys, do we desire each other that way? Hmm. Do we desire to have time together, to eat together, to laugh together, to cry together, to go out together? Because that, my brothers and sisters, is what keeps the bond of unity.
Amen.
That we have in Christ.
Hallelujah.
He desires to see you. Finally, he says, stand firm in the Lord. Well, how do we stand firm? By doing all this togetherness stuff.
Amen. Yeah, that's right, brother.
That's how we can stand firm.
It's that simple.
I mean, if I was to bring up a bunch of people up here, some of our strongest men, and we stood in a line, linked arms together, and then we had Jaden try to run through us and see if he could push through all of us. Do you think that he would be able to get through some of our strongest men here? You think so? He's dead. He's like, he's scary. Oh, my goodness. Here he comes. I don't think so. But if we're all spread out, we don't have anything connecting us, we're not tied in together, would he be able to get through?
Yeah.
Tons of holes everywhere, right, Jaden? It'd be easy. It'd be a cakewalk for you. I mean, I'd probably tackle you right on the floor. But together, we'd be so much stronger. And we'd be able to withstand the attack of the enemy. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do.
Amen.
So when he calls them beloved brethren, it's a call for us to stand together as brothers. When he calls them desired, those deeply desired, that's a call for us to care about one another's well-being. Amen. When he calls us the joy, it's to say that we need to rejoice together with one another. When he calls us each other's crown, that's saying that we need to take care of each other as God's precious and chosen family. You know, Brandon, I want to share this encouragement with you. Anybody else who's considering getting married, when I married my wife, before that, when I saw my wife, I saw her as a princess. Mm-hmm. Why? I still see her as that. Because her dad is a king. Do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have met my father-in-law, Ron, so you're thinking, man, he's a king? He's the king of the island, isn't he? Wow, that's cool. I'm talking about her father, God.
Amen.
And you see how big and tall my father-in-law is. Well, her dad is way bigger and way stronger. I am accountable to my God, to her God, on how I treat my wife.
Amen.
Every insult, every praise, every way that I touch her, whether good or bad, I am accountable for all of that before God. Think about it, guys. Women, you're also accountable for your husband's behalf. But aren't we accountable for one another as well?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's not just in the marriage union. We are united as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. You know, when God sees your brother that's sitting next to you, your sister that's sitting next to you, he sees them as the apple of his eye. Mm. How do you treat them?
Amen.
Look at them again if you need to. He sees them as the apple of his eye. Are you mistreating the apple of God's eye? Or are you treating them well? Do you really love them? It's not by word. It's by what we do.
Amen.
It's the action. If we really see our brothers and sisters in the light that God sees them, we would think twice before we mistreat them. Mm. That goes for this world too. God wants these souls. God wants these people to come to him to be saved. So guess what? He cares for them. And he will hold everybody accountable that mistreats them. Mm-hmm. Guys, Romans chapter 12, verse 18 tells us this. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, amen, live peaceably with all men. Mm. That's not an excuse verse. That's a verse of strength. It's not an excuse for us to say, well, that's just who I am. I can't live peaceably. I just got an ornery character. God doesn't care.
That's right.
He wants us to try very hard to live at peace with all men. Mm-hmm. Because he gave us a great example in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That while those people were offending him and calling him names, and they were whipping him, they pulled out his beard, they tried to break his bones with every hit, he still loved them so much that he went to that cross so that they could be free from their sin and be with him forever. Do we live that same way selflessly? Do we try at every possible moment to live at peace with the people you see around you and even those you don't? Brothers and sisters, how is it that you care for the brother or sister that's here today? How is it that you care for the church, the body of Christ? Do you treat them like David treated Jonathan? Jesus treated the church and his disciples. He called them friends. Or do you treat them like Cain treated Abel? Let's bow our heads. Let's talk to the Lord.